And let's begin tonight, verse number 1, reading through verse number 5. All right, Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Let's pray tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for an opportunity that you've given us on this Tuesday night to be able to gather together in this church and among your people. What a great opportunity that we have to approach the Scriptures this evening. And it's our desire that the Holy Spirit of God would move in this place, would attend unto our needs tonight. I pray that we'll give full attention to you and to your word this evening. I pray, Father, that you would look down upon each one of us, God, as the word of God is preached. Lord, that we might be open unto the leadership of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you'd use me for your glory. Hide me behind the cross as I desire, Lord, to do what you faithfully called us to do. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, thank you for their faithful stand. And I ask, God, that you bless us tonight with your holy word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we consider this, these verses here in the book of Revelation, and we start here in chapter 2 considering this message that Jesus gave to this church that was in the city of Ephesus, one thing that I want you to remember is that this church that this letter is being written to, or this is referring to, was a real church. I know that there's some prophetic application that we can make about the age of grace and the things that have been said about certain church periods throughout Revelation. I understand there are some applications that can be made, but let's not forget that as we read about these churches that we're preaching and learning about real churches.
Right.
These are churches that were from real cities. They had real people. And so this is a real moment in time in which they're receiving this warning. And there are several things that Jesus brings up to our attention about this church, things that I would want to describe my church, things that I would want for your church to be described as. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 2. I want you to see, first of all, that they're productive. The Bible says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience.
Yeah.
And so this church was a productive church. This church was not sitting on the sidelines waiting for the day for Jesus to return. Everybody just waiting and assembling together, hoping that at any moment that he could come, but not doing anything in service for Christ. No, this church was a busy church. This was a productive church. This was a church that was involved in ministry. And that's how I would like my church to be described. I hope that would be how you would want your church to be described, as a productive church that is working and serving Christ. So we see it's productive. We also see that it's passionate. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And so Jesus said about this church that they could not bear them which are evil. So they were passionate. They were passionate about what is right. They were passionate about what was true, about what was good. And listen, we live in a world today where sinful actions and sinful lifestyles are condoned, not only condoned, but they're celebrated. And we need some churches today who stand up for what's right. They stand up for what is true. They stand behind the principles of the Word of God. And they're passionate about those things. And they're not willing to compromise of the things that they believe and the things that are true and the things that come from the Word of God. You see here a passionate church. I'd love for that to describe my church. We're passionate about the things of God. Thirdly, I want you to see they're perceptive. Notice with me in verse 2 that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And so this church was perceptive because they were able to see the wolves in sheep's clothing. Listen, I believe that they had been taught some things over the years. I believe that they had learned some things. And what's so great about being a part of a Bible-believing Baptist church is you're taught some things. You learn some things. You know the difference between truth and error. And when you see the error, you're able to spot that. Hey, that's a wolf's in sheep's clothing over here. Hey, that doesn't sound right. Hey, that's not true over there. Hey, what they're preaching down the street, listen, that's not the right. That's not the truth. Listen, what I'm hearing over there is not the message of the gospel. It's something else. Listen, that's something that described this church. They were perceptive. Listen, they could identify those wolves in sheep's clothing. So something that I would want to describe my church is this perceptiveness of being able to spot the liars. Then fourthly, I see that this church was patient. Verse number 3, and hast borne and hast patience. And so this church was a patient church. They faced problems. They faced persecution. Listen, they faced things that every church is going to face. They endured difficult times. And yet they were still standing.
Right.
I mean, they were still there. And in a day and age when we're seeing churches close by the hundreds to the thousands every year,
yep.
I'm thankful for churches that are still standing.
Amen.
They're still patient. They're still holding on. They're still bearing up the banner of the cross.
Right.
Listen, I'm thankful for that. I see that in this church of Ephesus. One more I want you to see, verse number 3. They're also perseverant. Says in verse number 3, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted.
Yeah.
Listen, this church hadn't given up.
Right.
They didn't give it up. They didn't give it up on soul winning. They hadn't given up on Bible preaching. They haven't given up on reaching there for community for Christ. This was a church that kept on persevering. Thank God for churches like that.
Amen.
Listen, thank God for churches that still continue to go out and soul win.
Right.
Churches that still go out and continue to try to reach their community for Christ. You say, preacher, we haven't seen a lot of results lately. Well, let's just keep on persevering.
Right.
Let's keep on serving Christ. That's a good sign of a church. I love these things about the church of Ephesus. Things that I would love to describe our church today. But of course, verse number 4, very important phrase, and I want you, if you will, if you like to make notes in your Bible, something I believe very important we must be reminded of in the midst of all that we do in serving Christ and being a part of our church. What must we remember? Verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because, here's the phrase, thou hast left thy first love. I encourage you to mark this phrase. Because what we find is that in these verses, there were some good things about this church. Some good things that we would desire for Jesus to say about our church. But there was something that was lacking. There was something that was being missed out on. Something that Jesus had against them. He said, I have somewhat against thee. And it wasn't because they were unfaithful, no. It wasn't because they were unproductive. No, they were working. They were serving. They were doing things. It wasn't because they were unclean. No, they had stepped away from all the false doctrine and false teaching, and they were standing on the truth. What was it that Jesus said about this church that he had against them? They left their first love.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, in studying this verse, I'm going to give you a few things about this, but I believe this is important. Notice with me the Bible says that they left their first love. They didn't lose it.
Right.
Okay? They left it, but they didn't lose it. When you lose something, you don't know where to find it, right?
Right.
Anybody ever lost something, maybe this past week, lost something, you can't find it. That's the story of my life. Lose something, can't find it. There are things that I used to have that I don't have anymore, including my first wedding ring. I have no idea where that's at. No idea. Things that you lose, you don't know where to find them. But if you leave something, you know where it is. All right? You may have left something at home and you say, right now, I know exactly where it is. I left it there and I know where to go find it. Okay? When it comes to this first love, the church didn't lose it. As if they didn't know where to find it. That they left it.
Right.
That was that they could return back to it because they knew where it was.
Yeah, that's good for us.
All right, so I want to get you three things about this first love and how to go back to it, okay? I want to give you three things about how to get back to this first love, how that you and I as Christians and as a church can get back to our first love. First of all, I want you to see love's remembrance. Love's remembrance. Verse number 5. What does Jesus say to this church after he says, thou hast left thy first love? What does he say? First off, he says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen.
Yeah.
Notice with me, church, that this church that had left its first love, that returning to that, going back to where they left it, it starts with remembering. This starts with the head. The action of the head, remember your first love. Now, when you think about your first love, you may think about that first time when you experienced love in your life. We may think back to a time in our lives when we say, oh, that was my first love, or the first time that I experienced love. But I want you to consider this first love is not, it doesn't have to do with when you experienced it. This first love has to do with its priority or its placement. This is the first love. That is, it is the supreme love. It is the most important love. It is preeminent. It ought to have first place.
Amen.
And so this first love that they left, they needed to remember what was most important. They needed to remember what was the priority. They needed to remember what ought to be in first place. And so, church, who is our first love? Who is preeminent? Who ought to have first place? What does the Bible tell us in Mark 12 and verse 30? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. God ought to be first place. Right. He ought to have first place in my life. Right. And everything that I do ought to consider God in His place as my priority. Right. And when God is no longer the priority in my life, I've left my first love.
Amen. That's right.
So what does God, what does Jesus say? How do we get back to that? He says, remember from whence thou art fallen. I remember when I first fell in love. I fell in love with my wife. We've been married for, please don't tell her because I can't remember exactly. I think 19 years. The week this coming March, I think 19. Don't tell her, okay? Don't tell her. I think 19 years. I remember after dating her a year, I knew that she was going to be my wife. I was a college kid, and I wanted to go and buy her an engagement ring, but there was a problem. Brother Scott, I didn't have no money. I didn't have no money, but I wanted to marry her. And so here's what I did. I went to the jewelry store, and I said, look, I know what ring that she wants, but I don't have the money to pay for it. I said, can you help me out? Can you tell me what can I do? She looked over and grabbed the ring. She said, yeah, you're right. You're not going to be able to afford it. Here's what I'll do. She said, I'll lower the price of the ring to get it down to where I can finance it to you over a period of time. And you can just pay for it as you can. And then once it's done, you can come get it. I said, that sounds fair to me. So I just paid it off last week. Just kidding. I got that ring. And I'm telling you, I didn't have hardly two nickels to rub together, but I worked and I tried and I saved and I put every bit of extra money I had on that ring so that I could give it to her and ask her to be my wife. What makes a man do that?
Yeah.
Now, remember that. Remember that love. Perhaps you can relate to that yourself. Perhaps you can remember a time when you loved someone that much. How about your love for God? Remember? Do you remember what it was like when you couldn't wait to come to church because you were just so excited to be there? Do you remember what that was like? Do you remember what it was like the day you got saved and that burden of sin was gone and no longer did you carry around that weight because Jesus had washed it all away? Do you remember what that was like? Do you remember what it was like when you spent time in prayer with God? And listen, spending time with Him was the most important part of your day. When you loved to read your Bible because listening to what God had to say to you was so important. Do you remember when He was first place? Go back to that. Remember that. Listen, it starts with the head. Think back about those times in your life when you were closest to God. Is that where you are today? If not, you've left it. What do we need to do? We need to go back. Let's remember what it was like when God was the most important part of my life and everything that I did revolved around Him and all that mattered to me was pleasing Him. Listen, that's what we have to go back to, church.
Amen.
If we want to get that first love again.
That's right.
Remember. Remember. Secondly, I want you to see love's repentance. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, verse number 5. What else should we do? The Bible says, and repent. Remember, I said the first thing has to do with your head. We need to remember. Think back. Remember those times when we were close to God. What we must do, the second thing has to do with the heart. We must repent. Now, a simple definition of repent, you've probably heard it before, is to change one's mind. Or to change one's direction. And there is certainly something to be said about how that true repentance involves change. There ought to be a change. If we're truly repentant, we are going to make that change. There's a difference between regret and repentance. And that's a distinction that is important for us to understand. A lot of people regret what they've done, or regret that they're not close to God, but they won't repent.
Right. Amen.
They won't make the change. So regret involves feeling sorrowful but not making the change. However, repentance involves real change. All that being said, of course, repentance is a matter of the heart. Repentance ought to involve a remorse. Knowing that I'm not as close to God as I used to be, that ought to be something that causes remorse in my heart. Because I want to be close to God. I want Him to have first place. And knowing that He's not first place in my life, knowing that He's not the priority, knowing that I don't love Him as much as I ought to love Him, that ought to bring some sorrow to our heart. True repentance involves this remorse because we know how much we have injured or hurt someone that we love. And so, church, when it comes to our first love, this is something that we must understand. If we're not as close to God today as we ought to be, it's our fault.
That's right.
It's not God's fault.
Right. That's right.
Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God loves you just as much now as He always has. And so if your relationship with God is not as close as it should be, here's the truth. It's your fault.
Right.
It's my fault. God doesn't leave us, we leave him. We left our first love. God didn't leave us. And so repentance recognizes that the reason I'm not as close to God as I ought to be is because it is my fault. Listen, one of the hardest things that people struggle with in a relationship is just coming down to the fact that the reason we are having problems, the reason we're not as close, the reason our love is not as vibrant as it once was, is because it's my fault. It's because of the things that I've done. It's because I've stepped away. It's because I've been distant. It's because I have left my first love. Listen, the same applies to God, except within relationships you can usually find a fault in both sides. But with God, it's always my fault. And so, listen, what must I do? I need to repent. It's time to make a change.
Come on, preacher.
Go back to loving God like we should. Listen, if we've left our first love, then 100% of the time, it's our fault. If you're a Christian tonight, if you're born again, if you're a believer here who's joined himself to this local church, then there's a love for Jesus in your heart.
Right.
If in your heart you don't have a love for Jesus, if your relationship, a relationship to God is not important to you, then you've never been born again.
Yep.
Loving Christ is something that comes from the heart of a Christian. And in your heart, if you know that you've hurt God because you're not as close to him as you should be, it should involve repentance. Listen, I know that it's my fault. We've left our first love. And the third thing I want you to see from verse number 5. What must we do if we want to get back to that first love? We must remember. We must repent, make that change. And then thirdly, love's return. What does the Bible say? Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works.
Amen.
So we must remember, we must repent, and we must return.
That's right.
The first response has to do with the head. Remembering the love for God that you once had. The second one involves the heart. A change out of the sorrow for the offense that you have caused in leaving your first love. And then thirdly, the response of the hands. Doing the first works that you did before you left your first love. I want you, if you will, let's turn just briefly to the Gospel of John. Chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse number 15. Go back and do the first works. This is so important for us to understand, church. What does Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse number 15? If you love me, say it with me, church. Keep my commandments. In this verse, Jesus makes it very clear the connection between the love that we have for him and what we'll do. And that is to keep his commandments. How do we demonstrate our love for God? How do we display it? We keep his commandments. Thus, it is impossible for us to truly return to loving God like we ought to without returning to what he's commanded us to do. This is not enough to remember. It's not enough just to have remorse. We got to return. Real love for God must manifest itself in our actions. We must go back and do the things that he's commanded us to do. If we want to get back to our first love. And so, church, consider this. If we truly love Jesus, we must go back to the first works. We must go back and start doing what we know that Christ has commanded us to do. We've been married, as I mentioned, 18, 19 years, however long it's been. doing my best. Sometimes my wife will tell me what it is that she wants us to do. And my wife's main thing for us in her experiencing love is to go do things. She wants to spend quality time with me. That's her main thing. And I know when we're not doing enough of that, because she'll tell me. And fellas, that's the number one way to tell what it is that your wife wants. She'll tell you usually what it is she's telling you about. That's what she wants. She'll tell me, hey, can we go out and do this? Can we go out and here? Can we go out and there? And it's not really about all that. It's just about wanting to spend that quality time. You know, that is what we used to do when we were dating. You know, we used to go out and do this, do that. Go out and go bowling. Go out and have fun. If I really want to show my wife how much I love her, I go back and do those same things that makes her feel loved. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, that's what I do to show that to her. Mm-hmm. Those are those works, those things that demonstrate to her how much that I love her. Now, what does Jesus say? He says, go back, return, do the first works. Go back and do what you used to do when I was first place. You remember when you used to go to church all the time? You remember when that was a priority for you? Do you remember when you used to pray every day? Do you remember when you used to read your Bible every day? Do you remember when you used to serve in your church? Do you remember when they even went out soul winning? Do you remember when you used to do those things for me? Go back and do those first works. Go back and do the things that I've commanded you to do. To go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All the things that Christ has commanded us to. If we want to show Him how much that we love Him, go back and start doing those things that He wants us to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we got to go back and do the first works. I'll close with this. When it comes to those first works, listen, not only does that have to do, I believe, with the works that we previously did, but you remember how we talked about how that first love is a priority love? It's most important. The same thing can be said about those works. Go back and do the first works. That is those most important things. Here's how we often live our Christian lives. God, if I have time for you, then I'll do so and so. God, if I can make it, if I can squeeze you in, I'll do it. That's not first works. The first works are the priority. God, you're first place. And everything else, if I have time to do that, I'll get to it. The first works are making His works a priority for you. I feel in this modern day Christianity, this modern day Christian of today, we are so busy with all the things of this life that we've become too busy for God. And because of that, we've left our first life. Let's go back and do those first works. Where God is most important. Where His house is most important. Where His word is most important. Where He's called us to do is most important. Let's go back and do the things that Jesus has taught us prioritize. Not with the attitude of, if I have time, I'll do it. But because they are our first works, they're most important. And that will reflect our first love. The things that you do in your life, those things are things that reflect what's most important to you. How you structure your day, how you structure your week, what you spend your time doing, that reflects what's most important to you. Consider this, where's God on that list? Hopefully it's your desire to love Jesus as you ought to. Remember, if you want to do that, if you want to get back to that first love, remember when you used to love Jesus and it was so close and so vibrant. Repent of the remorse, and with remorse of the hurt and the offense that you caused because of your selfishness, and return. Turn to demonstrating that first love by keeping His commandments. Listen, we've not lost it. We just left it. You can get back to it. But you got to remember, you got to repent, and you got to return. And that's how you can get back to your first love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for an opportunity that You've given us to be here tonight. And I thank You, Lord, for the Scriptures and the things that You teach us. And Lord, thank You for reminding us.